From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday, the National Weather Service in San Angelo, Texas, tweeted a photo of the winter storm map that covered much of the country. You could drive from Crockett County in Texas to Aroostook County in Maine and be under a winter storm warning for the entire trip. Although, come to think of it, you probably couldn't make that drive given conditions on the ground. Here in Illinois, much of the state in our listening area was also under that warning, which was significantly disruptive, the storm, to say the least. IDOT says highways from Chicago to Carbondale were covered with snow and ice, and driving proved treacherous. Here's Paul Waffle with IDOT yesterday.
It's very challenging with the winds and the cold temperatures and expecting, you know, more snow. So it's going to continue to be a challenge for all of the IDOT snowplow drivers and everybody. And it's an incredible storm.
Thank you to Illinois Public Media's Dana Cronin for that audio. State police are investigating three separate crashes involving their squad cars. Two troopers' vehicles were struck in the Springfield area, the other in Pisotum area yesterday. The University of Illinois, Illinois State, and Bradley Universities all went to classes that were remote yesterday and today, and K-12 schools were also closed. Coming up, we're going to hear more about this winter storm from meteorologist Andrew Pritchard and Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford. But first, we're going to get some updates from two of our member stations. Joe Deacon is a reporter at WCBU in Peoria. Eric Stock is a reporter at WGLT in Bloomington Normal. They've been reporting on this winter storm. Joe, Eric, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And listeners, we'd love to know what you're seeing in your area. If you have questions for our reporters or our meteorologist or climatologist, or you want to share what this winter storm has been like for you, we'd love to hear about it. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455. What are you seeing out your window? Has the snow come up to your window? Let us know, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Eric, how significant was the storm in Bloomington Normal yesterday?
12 inches of snow yesterday, and it looks like it's about done for this area. We're part of a group of counties that includes Peoria that got downgraded to a winter weather advisory. So it looks like the worst is past us. The biggest concern today, maybe wind gusts and snowing, plowing the snow could be a little bit difficult. Challenge yesterday, not many people were on the roads, but McLean County Emergency Management reported they had at least 32 traffic crashes in the county, and well over 150 vehicle assists for cars that became stranded. So they are still urging people to stay off the roads.
Yeah, I know portions of Interstate 55 and Interstate 57 had to be shut down at different times yesterday. Joe, I understand the Peoria area might have been the hardest hit. How significant was the storm there?
Yeah, kind of similar to what Eric was saying. I mean, parts of the area got about a foot of snow, and crews have been working kind of around the clock to clear the streets. Mayor Rita Ali did issue an emergency declaration yesterday morning, and a lot of the government facilities across the Tri-County, including the health departments, have been closed. There's been on-street parking bans. It's just been, you know, kind of bringing everything to a bit of a standstill.
Yeah, were there any notable closures in the Peoria area?
You kind of mentioned Bradley University did not close, but they did switch to e-learning. Peoria Public Schools and a lot of the other school districts and did the same. We did have, like I said, a lot of the government facilities were closed. The health departments were closed. OSF Healthcare shut down a lot of their on-call facilities and a lot of other non-emergency services.
Joe, what about the road conditions? Yesterday, I imagine just about as bad as in Bloomington Normal area. What are you hearing this morning?
Yeah, I actually spoke to Peoria Deputy Public Works Director Cy Maroon this morning, and he says the main streets are actually in pretty good condition now, and they hope to have all the side streets mostly cleared by later this evening or overnight.
Okay. Eric, let me ask you about schools where you are. I understand even before the storm, the district already had to rely on a lot of substitute teachers. I think we have a clip here of Superintendent Barry Riley.
We are filling about half of our classes where staff are absent with substitute teachers. The others are covered by members of our staff. When you shift to an e-learning environment, that becomes much more difficult to manage.
Wow, half with substitute teachers. What's going on there?
Yeah, they say the district is still concerned about the number of staff that have COVID-19. According to their dashboard, they have 29 staff members district-wide that have cases this week. And it's remarkable given that District 87 started doing remote learning long before anyone else in this area, even long before COVID. They purchased a home internet service for families who couldn't afford it years ago, so that students could keep up with their schoolwork, but they didn't even try to go remote this week, and that was the big concern, that they would not have the staff to be able to manage it. It has been a lot more labor intensive than schools had anticipated, and of course, it's been a source of frustration for many, including our parents, that have had to provide reinforcements on that front. And then Unit 5, the biggest school district in McLean County, they went remote, but only for one day on Wednesday. They scheduled today as a snow day, and their superintendent, Kristen Weichel, had said they were concerned that by today, we could see families struggle with connectivity issues if the storm was as bad as it could have been. Now, maybe it turns out that they could have done it, but they certainly wanted to be prepared, and they did not want to have to make up two snow days this week.
Well, I got to say, on behalf of children everywhere, the idea that snow days are a thing of the past and would be replaced by virtual learning days sounds just terrible. So, but it seems like there's a mix in your area, at least.
Yeah, indeed. And as you mentioned, too, among the colleges, Illinois State did entirely shut down for 2 days. They kept their dining halls and residence halls open, of course, but they did not do virtual learning. Illinois Wesleyan went virtual. Eureka College had closed entirely. So even that, too, was a mixed bag. Heartland Community College closed entirely. So several of those schools did not choose to go virtual during this time, even though it had become almost a matter of routine in many cases.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I know when the U of I went to virtual learning, it had pointedly said in the note to staff, we cannot control how the media describes what we're doing. We are not closing. We're just going online. So let it be said that we tried to, honor their description. All right. Eric Stock is a reporter with WGLT in Bloomington Normal. Joe Deacon is a reporter with WCBU in Peoria. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to bring two more voices into the conversation. Trent Ford is the Illinois State climatologist. Andrew Pritchard is a meteorologist in Champaign-Urbana. His website is shambanaweather.com. You can also hear his forecasts on Illinois Public Media. Andrew and Trent, welcome back to the 21st.
Hey, Brian. Always great to be here.
And listeners, once again, we want to know what the storm has been like for you. Have you attempted to drive in this weather? My car has not left its garage in a couple of days now. Or if you have questions for our state climatologist or meteorologist, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455. So, Andrew, I'd like to begin with you from a meteorological standpoint. What happened? What led to this winter storm? And I got to say, at this point, I've been sort of informally calling it a blizzard, but I understand that may not be technically correct. So just kind of give us the baseline of what we experienced.
That's a great question. And yes, there is very specific criteria that has to be met for that blizzard warning. And you know, folks were curious if we would get upgraded to that. And it wasn't really that kind of storm. It was actually a really fascinating setup if you're a weather nerd like myself, where this wasn't your typical winter storm where we had, you know, a really strong area of low pressure swinging in from the southwest and, you know, your typical severe storms in the warm sector and then heavy snow and strong winds on the backside. It wasn't really like that. What we had was an area of low pressure that was well off to our north in Canada, and it dragged a cold front across the central United States. It was a setup where we have this polar front meeting warm and humid air coming up from the south. We had a ridge of high pressure across the southeast. And so you can kind of think of it, we've got this frontal boundary kind of divided across the Midwest here. You've got this cold, dry air coming in from Canada, and cold, dry air is really thick. I compare it to molasses compared to warm and humid air, and that might seem a bit counterintuitive, but the warm and humid air coming in from the south is actually, it's much more light and less dense than that cold air coming in from the north. So the front stalls out. We've got this warm and humid air coming up and rising over the top of the cold air. The cold air sinks in beneath that. And so we ended up with this situation where the front was stalled. We've got warm and humid air coming up over the top of this polar front. And that creates cloud cover precipitation that is then, you know, falling into this cold air mass as snow. So this is a setup that we'll see, you know, a few times a year in the spring or in the fall. And it's when we get those, you know, we'll string together 3-4 real gloomy, rainy days where, you know, people start getting depressed and it's like, oh, it's just so dreary outside. Well, that's what happened here. It's just, it happened in the cold. So we've got this long duration, you know, snow event where, again, it wasn't, you know, met with super strong winds. You know, it wasn't 3 to 6 hours of really intense snow. It's just kind of a long period here, 24 to 48 hours, where it's just going to snow steadily. So we were able to stack up quite a bit of snow over a wide geographic area just because of this kind of unique setup that didn't move a whole lot for a couple of days.
Yeah, slow moving, gentle, but thick snowstorm. All right, let's get a caller in. Joe is calling in, who is a truck driver on I-55, I understand, on line 4. Joe, thank you for calling in.
Oh, yeah.
What are you seeing out there?
Oh, man. We started out in St. Louis this morning picking up some Hershey bars and trying to get them up to Chicago. And starting out at the truck stop this morning, it was snowed in, even though they had just plowed an hour prior. And once we got on the road, rolling for about an hour and a half now, about 40 miles an hour, that we've counted and taken pictures of 12 tractor-trailer wrecks so far, and even snow plows on the side.
Oh, my goodness.
Having to get towed out. It's a mess.
Well, precious cargo with the Hershey's there. Do stay safe while you're on the road, and I hope you can get there before sunset, maybe.
Yeah, me too. Well, thanks for having me.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Joe. Trent, you know, I wondered leading up to this storm, it seemed like people were freaking out a little bit more than I remember when I was a kid. And, you know, maybe I'm just misremembering what it was like when I was a kid, but I don't know. Do you have things qualitatively changed in the way we sort of predict and warn people about these storms? I mean, it's, you know, ultimately we've got 12 inches of snow, which I feel like there have been many snow events like that in my lifetime.
Yeah, you know, I think there's probably not a whole lot of research coming into this, into my perspective here, but just, you know, qualitatively, one of the big things that I think from this storm was that it was actually picked up by the models, at least this kind of trajectory of pretty heavy snowfall over a long period of time across a wide swath of the state. You know, folks were picking this up, or the models were picking this up, you know, several days ahead of time, if not a week ahead of time. And, you know, it's kind of interesting looking at some of the model snowfall totals. You see, you know, see it a week out. It's like, well, that's not really relevant. That'll come back down from Mars here. And it really didn't as much. And so I think one of the big things is that it was picked up pretty well by the models, and it was forecasted well by Andrew and others who were trying to communicate this. But also I think a part of it was that this storm came on the back of what was in some places a near record snow drought across much of central Illinois. I mean, coming into this storm, Champaign-Urbana area was anywhere between 10 and 12 inches below normal in snowfall. It's a little bit better in Peoria area, but, you know, most of the state was anywhere between 5 and 12 inches below normal as far as season to date snowfall. And so, you know, we kind of get from the really warm December and just a frankly boring January we had across the state, I think we kind of get lulled into this you know, thinking that winter isn't as intense as it can be. And so the first real taste of winter weather that we got here in central Illinois, I think just sparked a little bit of a more concern than maybe if we'd been hit by storm after storm beforehand.
Andrew, what about you? Do you think, I know you grew up in Illinois, was this storm unique? Are people just ready for snow? Or am I just misremembering that we didn't used to freak out quite so much about a little snow?
Well, I'll be honest, Trent stole the answer right out of my mouth. I think it was definitely a combination of the fact that, you know, he hit on the snow drought and, you know, folks were kind of aware that here in Champaign-Urbana, it wasn't just a snow drought, it's that we were still waiting for that first 1-inch snowfall, which amazingly, there's still two dates in the past that were, you know, later than this one. I think February 22nd is the all-time record for that latest first inch. But I think it was exactly that, a combination of this was, you know, a rather long duration high impact snowstorm here. You know, it's not rare to get a 10-inch snowfall here, but I think maybe we're more accustomed to those, you know, 4 to 6, 6 to 8 inches. So, you know, exactly. We went through a mild December, a boring January. Haven't seen hardly anything that would, you know, challenge our ability to continue to live our lives and, you know, drive through the snow. And then the first time that we get, you know, a run-in with that winter weather, it's, you know, 10 inches of snow. You're not going to be able to get anywhere for 48 to 72 hours. And again, yeah, you know, Trent hit on it as well, that this system was picked up on fairly well. You know, it was the weekend before here, 5 days out here, that we're, you know, realizing that we could be dealing with a lot of snow. And it was kind of Sunday afternoon, I saw a lot of the local meteorologists here starting to put out the early words. So we had a lot of time to get nervous,
yeah,
and be worried about it. But I think it was also just, we hadn't had that yet this year. And then suddenly we're faced with a rather dramatic snow. I think the last little bit there was, I think, the all-time record for the largest single snow event in Champaign-Urbana would be 15 inches. And so I think we'll come up shy of that unless we really overachieve here through the rest of the day today. But
all right, let's
snowfall.
We need to take a pause. We're going to continue this conversation. 800-222-9455. If you want to let us know what you're seeing in your part of Illinois, 800-222-9455. We're going to wrap up this conversation after the break. This is the 21st. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the winter storm that many of us are still experiencing, perhaps digging out of, depending on where you are in Illinois. We're talking about that with Andrew Pritchard, who is a meteorologist and the proprietor of ShambanaWeather.com and does forecasts for Illinois Public Media. We're also speaking with Trent Ford, who is the Illinois State Climatologist. And Trent, before we went to the break, Andrew, I should mention the Illinois Department of Transportation put out a traffic alert on Twitter. And this is, I guess, especially for anyone who's out there driving on Interstate 55, Joe, who called in earlier. The Illinois State Police District 9 has shut down Interstate 55 in both directions at Williamsville. That's exit 109, exit 109, because of snow, ice, and congestion. So Joe said he was taking Hershey bars from St. Louis to Chicago. Wish him and everyone else who has to travel today to be safe out there. But Trent, before the break, Andrew was mentioning 15 inches is the record. How does this year's snowfall compare to previous years?
Yeah, well, you know, before this event, you know, Champaign had just over 2 inches total, and that was really scraping together some pretty weak snowfall that most of the time had melted before, you know, after just a couple of hours. So right yesterday, we measured 1.5 inches there at the water survey, which is the official record for Champaign. And then to this morning, it was about 4.5 inches. So far we're at about 6. And then, you know, it's still snowing here in the area. And so we'll see what we pick up, but not probably, like Andrew mentioned, unless we really, really accumulate a lot of good snowfall today, we're probably not going to get close to that 15 inches, but make it close to the double digit mark.
Now, has Champaign-Urbana or Central Illinois been in a sort of drought with that little snowfall? How do you make that categorization? And then I wonder, does that portend anything for the rest of the year, or is this, you know, maybe too small a data set to make that any judgments?
Yeah, you hit $1 million question there in the climate community. Is what is snow drought outside of the Western U.S.? You know, the Western U.S., it matters because of snowpack and water availability in the summertime. Here in the Midwest, you know, there's not really a good understanding or a solid limit of, say, this is snow drought, this isn't snow drought. And actually, I'm one that is a bit more conservative to say we don't really have snow drought until we get deep enough into the season where we start expecting those higher snowfall accumulations like now. You know, so we kind of have to compare the total snowfall accumulation from this year to past years. And up until a couple of days ago, kind of as Andrew mentioned, we were the second or third lowest snowfall total on record in Champaign-Urbana. So saying, you know, that through the start of February is, you know, can be considered a significant lack of snow. As far as impacts are concerned, not really this far south in the Midwest. We really don't have a lot of impacts related to snow drought. One of the ones we do see is that because snowpack, a healthy snowpack can provide an insulating effect on the ground, we do see a larger number of water main breaks and some underground infrastructure issues that come from very cold weather when we don't have a snowpack, kind of what we had at the end of January. But as far as, you know, portending to any sort of drought, you know, persisting through the spring or summer, it's not really a good indicator of anything like that.
Interesting. I always hope that really cold weather in the winter will help reduce the large insect burden in central Illinois, but that has never really panned out the way my fantasies imagined. Andrew, are we out of the woods yet? What's next for this series of weather systems we've been experiencing?
Well, we're not quite out of the woods. As Trent mentioned, you know, we've got a rather efficient band of snow moving over right now. So we're still accumulating that snow. We'll continue to stack up snow slowly through the rest of the day today. I expect the snow to begin tapering off as we get toward the evening. So probably still another 5-6 hours of at least light, maybe bursts of moderate snow here, probably another 2 or 3 inches, maybe locally higher totals. But the winds are going to be gusting through the rest of the day today as well. So especially as you get toward the outer edges of town, out on those open roads, the interstates, we've got winds gusting 35 to 40 miles per hour. So blowing and drifting of snow, reduced visibility. I know that's going to really hamper the snow removal efforts through the day today. I've been seeing a lot of reports of these roads still being entirely snow and ice covered. And not only that, but you know, with the snow continuing to fall, with the blowing and the drifting of the snow, we're really forming a kind of a compacted layer of ice there on some of these roads as well. So the treacherous conditions, those will continue through the day today, probably into the overnight. Now we will see the snow begin to clear, the winds fade overnight tonight. We'll deal with some cold temperatures. Those wind chills will be at below zero tonight. And then tomorrow night, we'll see the air temperature drop a few degrees below zero. But as we talk about conditions, those will be improving quickly as we get into tomorrow and beyond. We'll see cold weather, but sunny and quiet weather Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we'll start to warm up slightly as we head into next week. So some pretty conditions to enjoy the snow this winter, this weekend, and then start to maybe do some slow melting as we get into next week. But still another 12 to 18 hours of rather problematic conditions across the area.
Yeah, so hunker down if you're able to, I guess. I want to get one more call in. Ann is on line 4 from East Peoria. Ann, thank you for calling in. Go ahead with your question.
Sure. I'm curious about whether the moisture content of the snow is measured, because is a light and fluffy foot of snow the same amount of moisture that'll go into the ground as the wet and heavy stuff?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for that. And you know, I'm curious about that myself, because I have for measuring snow what I call the grill method. I look at the grill out my back window, and it's a pretty, you know, you can sort of get a gauge of, oh, how deep is the snow on top of that? Because if I look at the ground, you know, there are parts where there's bare ground, the wind is blowing the snow away. There are other parts where it's drifted up. Trent, how do you measure snow, and does moisture content come into it?
It can, and does make a difference. So the snow measurement that most people care about is the snow depth, where you have a snowboard, just usually a white piece of wood. You have a ruler, measure the snow depth on it. However, as Ann mentioned, you know, the light and fluffy stuff that we've actually been getting here in central Illinois for much of the system is much different than that heavier, higher liquid water content snow. And so what we do is you can take a core of snow off that snowboard, you know, just basically a 1-inch core of snow, as you would think of like an ice core, melt it down, and then you can measure the amount of liquid water in it. And it does make a difference. I mean, in some cases, when we get a nice, thick, heavy, wet snow, we can see, you know, a ratio of the snow depth to liquid water content of 10 to 1. But, you know, the one I measured outside my backyard this morning was closer to like 30 to 1. So we have a lot less liquid water. One thing about this system, and this kind of speaks to how much water is going back into the soil once the soil thaws, is that we did get a good amount of actual liquid rain and some freezing rain and sleet before the snow came. So along with the snow depths, places in central Illinois yesterday and today combined, we're looking at, you know, anywhere between an inch to up to 2 inches of actual liquid water content from all of that precipitation combined.
Interesting. Yeah, and ice you go a little further south in Illinois, right?
Yeah, I was looking at reports, citizen science reports from southern Illinois and places down near Carbondale, Pinckneyville, Effingham, or a little bit further south. They were getting anywhere between a a quarter to a fifth of an inch of ice of freezing rain and sleet combined down there. So that, of course, is a lot problematic when you get icing, especially for infrastructure.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I want to thank Trent Ford, the Illinois State climatologist, and meteorologist Andrew Pritchard. You can see his forecasts at shambanaweather.com. Thank you both so much for helping us understand a little bit about the science behind the winter storm. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.